Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars. In this week's edition of Inside Jag Nation, Associate Athletic Director for Media Relations Brian Freeman sits down with South Alabama Director of Athletics, Dr. Joel Erdman.
Our guest this morning is South Alabama Director of Athletics, Dr. Joel Erdman, who's entering his eighth year in the position. A long track record at the collegiate level, both as a baseball coach before getting into administration in the late 90s, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. But in an effort to really get Jag Nation to know a little bit more about you, we have a few questions this morning on our initial podcast. Appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. It's a great pleasure, and I appreciate taking the time to present this to people and various aspects within the department.
So you are a native of South Dakota, born and raised, and growing up, when did you start competing in sports, and what sports did you compete in that held your interest?
I come from a family of educators and ministers and social workers, and extracurricular activities in the form of sports and music and drama were all interwoven throughout all us siblings and our aunts and our uncles. And so at an early age, elementary school primarily, in middle school, I came up in a very small town, and in very small towns, everybody does everything. So we played football, we played basketball, we ran track, we played baseball. We all sang in the choir and played in the band, and we're in plays and musicals. So I think in a way, being from a smaller community presents opportunities to be exposed to a pretty well-rounded upbringing, if you will.
So as you played sports going through elementary school and the high school, when did the possibility hit you of, hey, I might be able to get a scholarship, I might be able to compete in college, and when did you really start thinking about that path educationally and athletically?
My sophomore year, and I was primarily a three-sport guy in a small town in South Dakota. I received most recruiting interest in the sport of football at mainly the Division II and Division III level. I had a chance to walk on in baseball at Iowa State, and I made a choice to give that a try, and walked in, and I was behind an all Big Eight performer by the name of Whale Wander, and so I, looking for playing time, I transferred back to South Dakota State University, and knew some friends that were on the baseball team, and that's where I completed my eligibility, was at South Dakota State as a corner infielder in baseball.
Okay, so you're back in your home state, you're playing baseball at South Dakota State, and when did you first consider that, okay, I want a career in athletics, and when you were, you know, what kind of profession were you thinking about along those lines as you got closer to entering the workforce?
From middle school to high school, I always knew that I wanted to teach and coach. I had great role models both in the family and people that I played for and had in class, and so that was kind of set in stone. I want, and as time progressed, I focused on baseball. And during my time at South Dakota State, I noticed a gentleman by the name of Harry Forsyth, and he was the athletic director, and I had absolutely no idea what that meant. And I made an appointment to go see him one day and just literally ask, what do you do? And he was very gracious and generous with his time. And I would talk to him from time to time. And I started to get a feel and an interest in that area eventually. I knew I wanted to coach high school and maybe into college. But then that kind of planted the seed in the back of my mind that when that time is done, when the teaching and coaching's done, this might be a pretty interesting and rewarding career path to follow.
So you graduate, you get your degree in 1986, and you did. You had some American Legion coaching experience as an undergrad, and then you worked at a high school in California for a couple of years. It led to a position at Pacific. Before your first stint during the 92 season here at South Alabama under Coach Kittrell. And again, you had a second stint later on, 96-97, on his staff as well. So you definitely fulfilled the coaching aspect of that dream. When, as you were going down that path, did you really decide, okay, I've done this, I've enjoyed it, now I really want to get into administration?
Really along my coaching stops. At the University of Pacific, our athletic director when I was there as an assistant baseball coach was a gentleman named Ted Leland, who came in from Dartmouth and made some noticeable changes in the department. He eventually went on to Stanford to be athletic director there, I think, for over 10 years. And I did the same thing that I did with Dr. Forsyth. I went to see Dr. Leland, and what is it you do, and if I want to be you someday, what do you recommend? And that increased my interest. He also recommended someday to get my PhD, which I fought. Internally, you know, I was like, I'm not so sure I want to do that, but if you say that's a good thing, then that started to get on the radar. And then when I came to South Alabama, I was exposed to Mr. Gottfried as a GA here and observed him and talked with him and other administrators within the department. And then as I went on to get my PhD at Florida State, Bob Goen, who was the AD, and Dave Hart that came in after that, and the associate and assistant ADs, I really became entangled with them, I guess you could say. And I think if there was some advice that I took to heart, it was to always pay attention and observe and learn. And so throughout all of those experiences, my career path really sharpened, and I want to be an AD someday, and it eventually, through the great help of many people that assisted me along the way, it finally came true in 2002.
Yeah, just so our listeners who probably have seen this and are aware, but for those who aren't, you ended up getting your master's in 1992. Here at South Alabama, went on to Florida State and earned your doctorate in 95. And then you came back and worked as an assistant with Coach Kittrell in 96 and 97. 97 is also when you moved in to the administrative side, officially working with Coach Gottfried. 2002, you became the athletic director at North Alabama. And was that the first athletic director job you applied for?
Oh, absolutely not. And I do want to backtrack and mention something. I'm very proud of and had a great experience at South Alabama as an assistant professor and somehow find my way to be promoted to an associate professor. But I while I was coaching, I was also teaching and on faculty. And while I transitioned into administration, I held on to my faculty status, and the great people in what is now health, kinesiology, and sport, Dr. Kovaleski, Dr. Scafidi, Dr. Heitman, Gene Barnes, Dr. Pugh. I hate to name names because I'm going to leave somebody out, but those people were very special to me and still are to this day. And back to the question about, was North Alabama the first application? No, absolutely not. applied for and failed to get numerous jobs. Most were AD jobs. Some were upper level associate or assistant AD jobs. And there was a couple of instances where there was an offer on the table, but it just wasn't the right fit after going through the interview process. So I was very fortunate to be offered and accepted the position at North Alabama under, at that time, the president was a gentleman by the name of Potts, and that university had a great environment and still has to this day. And I will cherish my 5 years there and the people I worked with and for. It's a great university and in a beautiful part of the state.
You know, when you were going through that process, what was it that led you to apply for that position? What did you know about North Alabama after being down here for an extended period?
You know, I when I was a student athlete at South Dakota State, we were Division II, and so I was always, even though I was working at some Division I institutions, either in grad school or teaching or coaching, I would always pay attention to the Division II landscape and had a great interest in it. And North Alabama won 3 back-to-back football national championships in the early to mid-90s, and that piqued my interest. And also just when I heard about the opening and applied for the opening and started to do research, they were a very well-rounded department. They had a solid fan base in the Shoals area, and honestly, it was an opportunity to stay in state in the retirement system, which you know is I think a prudent move. And so by getting it, I was able to stay in the state of Alabama. And, you know, a lot of it when you make career choices, in my opinion, is about people. And when I met people in the search process, trustees, vice presidents, administration, the president at that time, and talked to the coaches, it was the right feel and the right time. And we had a little work to do, but we got after it, and we made some changes and really had a nice run.
We're there from 2002 to 2007. Multiple teams did well, not just regionally, but nationally under your watch. And then 2007, you ended up being named the athletic director at Southeastern Louisiana. What drew your interest to Southeastern at that time?
I didn't necessarily have as a ultimate goal to be a Division I athletic director, but it was of interest to me, and Southeastern Louisiana seemed like from first look a very logical next step, if you will, and when I, similar to UNA, when I gained interest and applied for the job at Southeastern, and I started to do some homework and really investigate where they are and who they are and what their strengths are and who their leadership is, which was a gentleman by the name President Randy Moffitt at that time. When I visited and looked around and met people again, it was, in my opinion, a gold mine. It was a place that had and still has tremendous upside. It's in a very quaint and to me attractive college town environment. It's got an engaged fan base. Its geography is attractive on the North Shore Lake Pontchartrain, and you're in. For most sports, you're in an area of the country that you can recruit without going a long way away. So that again, was a very attractive position, and I was very fortunate to get it.
So there was 2 years in Hammond at Southeastern Louisiana, and I know that a lot of it involved, there was a lot of restructuring and a lot of implementing plans and programs for the department. And then in 2009, leading into the initial football season, the position here at South Alabama came open. And I know that you've stated, based on your previous experience, that you always kind of knew in the back of your mind you wanted to end up back here if possible, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. When I arrived here in the fall of 91 as a baseball graduate assistant in the department of HPELS, which is now HKS, I very quickly gained a great deal of respect and love for the university and the city of Mobile and the community and the region we're in. I don't really know why. I don't really have an explanation for that, but it just kind of stuck to me, and I felt good, and I enjoyed it. And I had always hoped that if and when Mr. Gottfried or someone would retire from the position, that I'd have a chance at it. And when the opportunity did occur to where the position was open, the one thing that was a detraction was I had not been, in my opinion, I had not been at Southeastern long enough to really finish my work there. And I did not enjoy walking in to a meeting of head coaches or the president's office and just saying, listen, I might be in consideration for this job, and I'm just being honest about it. You know, I still to this day have not a feeling of regret, but just a feeling of I wish it would have been the fourth or the fifth or the sixth year and not the end of the second. But as that was, when the opportunity to come here and interview and meet with the senior staff and some trustees, and you know, I had known not all, but many members of the department through my previous time here, but the department had evolved tremendously, you know, mainly due to the fact that football was now existing. And so the numbers of staff members, the size of the department, the complexity of the department had really changed since I left in 2002.
So you've been here since 2009, just as football was starting, and I think if you were to retire tomorrow and go spend time on the golf course and with Miss Tina, how would you describe the experience as it's been so far through those first 7 years?
It's been very, and I don't want to sound cliche, but it's been very rewarding. As highly as I thought of North Alabama and of Southeastern Louisiana, the University of South Alabama and Jaguar Athletics, our upside, our potential is limitless. And I think the thing that has been most pleasurable and rewarding since 2009 is to just spur that belief department-wide across all sport programs, across all support administrative units, that we need to and we must dream of great things, but that comes with a price tag, and it doesn't come easy, and we've got to plan appropriately, we've got to get after it, we've got to stretch ourselves and stretch those that we serve, and get to a place that we've never been. And we're not quite there yet, but we've made great strides, not just in wins and losses. I know that's what we're most publicly viewed on, but in so many ways, and specifically how we impact the lives of the student athletes that we serve, I think we're running pretty well right now, but we still are not in our top gear.
So describe the typical day of an athletic director, kind of on an 8-to-5 basis, you know, what you do, what your schedule looks like, how things break down during the course of a normal business day for you.
You know, I think that has to be answered through kind of phases and stages of where you are as an athletic director and where the department is functionally, culturally, organizationally, systematically. You know, if you are in a restructuring mode and a reorganization mode, you're spending more of your time with the inner workings and somewhat micromanagement of the department to get the various units to operate a certain way. And I think in 3 or 4 years ago, maybe that was more of my daily process. Where I'm at today, in my humble opinion, is the culture, the systems, the ways of doing things are running pretty well right now. And so you never quite just release control, but you have the ability to let go a little bit, and you have very trusted professionals in all the positions throughout the department, and so you shift a little bit from internal to more external. And so a daily in the world today, a typical daily routine is I tend to be a morning guy. I get here, you know, reasonably early. And it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours of quiet time. Where I can get things done, I can hopefully get ahead, and if things need my attention, I get it done, so the machine continues to work and it's not bogged down. And then from 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning till the end of the business day, there's a lot of face to face time. There's monitoring, there's communicating. There's not just within the department, but with more global issues in the NCAA or Sun Belt Conference or City of Mobile or the university as a whole. Sitting on the president's cabinet, I have obligations to interact with folks around the campus, which is highly interesting to me. I mean, I think it's beneficial for me to have a better understanding, not a complete understanding, but what exactly is going on in the College of Engineering? What exactly is going on at the Mitchell Cancer Institute or Children's and Women's Hospital or USA Medical Center or University Development, Alumni Relations, Student Affairs, Student Housing? So it's I spend time on a larger scale and a more conceptual scale campus-wide. But I you know, if we have events at night, then we're at games at night. And but it's a busy busy sounds a little shallow for it. It's an involved day. Sometimes more dramatic than others, depending on the day. Sometimes more high octane, if you will, depending on the situation. And you know, there's a lot of nights, and there's pretty much every weekend. And so when people ask, "What is it like?" It's not really a job. It's a lifestyle. It impacts not only you as an individual, but the people you love, your spouse, your family, your friends, because it is pretty time consuming, but it's tremendously fun and rewarding. So,
well, it's been documented here recently. You just completed a term on the NCAA Division I Baseball Committee. And people, are pretty aware of that. But you also have and continue to serve on multiple Sun Belt committees. in that type of situation, what kind of responsibilities do you have on the committee, and what kind of time commitment is required to take part in that type of thing?
It's the time commitment varies on time of year. You know, so the baseball committee did in this current year did take up a lot of time. But I think pulling back from the time commitment, what is the involvement and what do you do and why do you do it? I think it's you sit on those committees, whether conference or national in scale, and use your best professional judgment to provide insight or gather insight and to steer when it's appropriate the major issues and topics that are being debated or decisions are being made that maybe influences a sport or a department or a conference or a game nationally. And when you're considering influence, you draw upon your individual thoughts and experiences, but then you also have an obligation to think about the game or the concept or the topic regionally and nationally and globally. You know, when we were on the baseball committee, we constantly, you know, took ourselves back to what our guiding principle is: what is best for the game of college baseball. Why are we making these decisions, and what is best for the current state and the future status of college baseball nationally at the Division I level? And, you know, that's a pretty involved statement.
So a little over a year ago, the university announced the plans to study the feasibility of a football stadium on campus. Now, I think in our roles, it's clear that the president's office and the university, when the time is right and everything is complete, will announce what they've discovered, what they've found. But being the head of the athletic department, I imagine you got a pretty prominent role in the process. And so what I'd like to find out for our listeners is, you know, what has your involvement been and what types of things have you done to contribute to that process?
It's a great question. And what I'm about to explain, if you will, has been shared with the Board of Trustees at various meetings by Trustee Jimmy Schumach. And so I'll try to resemble or mirror those statements. You're correct. Last summer, the President Waldrop put together a small group of 5 to 6 people, of which I was one, or am one still to this day. And those are administrators, a trustee representation, and people who have expertise in facilities, you know. And our first action was to look at potential partners and partner with basically two consultants. One consultant is a partnership between CDFL, which is a design and engineering group out of Jackson, Mississippi, who partnered with Populous, which is an architect and design group out of Kansas City. So they together are working with us in potential location of the stadium, potentially, on campus, because we're very fortunate where we have land on our campus, and helping us with identifying the pros and cons of these locations. And then they came to campus and met with constituent groups, from cheerleaders to band to police to traffic flow to utilities to students, what is it you want in a perfect world? What do you desire? And we as a group then went and visited a handful of stadiums regionally on three different trips, I believe, that were either recently built within the last 10 years or had some type of renovations within that time period, where we gathered information about, you know, what did you do right? What did you really like? If you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? And we've taken all that information and started to massage it and digest it to really someday have an answer as to when that day comes. This is where we think it should go. This is what it would look like. Here's the capacity. Here's the amenities. Here's the parking. Here's the traffic flow. Here's how it interacts with campus life. Here's how we don't disrupt, or we minimize disruptions to campus life. So that's one group that we partnered with. The other group is a market study group out of Chicago that has come in and continues to evaluate what is the financial feasibility of this building called a football stadium, and can our market, can our season ticket holders, can our immediate Mobile Baldwin County market and regional market financially support this venture, and to help us with pricing, help us with income predictions, and make sure that those predictions are conservative in nature and prudent in nature. And so when we combine all that, there will be a day somewhere that information will be collated and gathered, and some type of not necessarily decisions to proceed, but a decision to say, now we understand. Now we're not guessing. Now we're not, well, we think this and we think that. What I think the point of the exercise is to say, okay, now we know. And we know that this would be the cost. We know that this would probably be where it would go. And we know that this is how many season tickets we would have to sell. This is how many upper tier loge tickets or club seats. This is how we would have to charge for parking. Here's the revenue distribution. And, you know, can we do this or can we not? So I will say this. I, without any reservation whatsoever, can openly declare that the process is very sound. It's involved with people who know what they're doing, who have expertise in this area, and the product of the examination will be a sound strategic product.
Okay, as you move forward, you know, the 2016-17 academic year is less than a month away, and that means competition begins in August with both the soccer and volleyball programs. Not just for this year, but long term, what kind of goals do you have in the back of your mind that you'd like to see accomplished as long as you remain in this position?
I think the most common core goals, you know, at the core of what we really do and why we do this every day. Number one, our ultimate product are our student athletes who become graduates and alumni of the University of South Alabama. And they are academically prepared, and they have led an experience where they gain the intangibles of playing the sport they love while they gain a college degree. And those intangibles prepare them to have a very good chance to lead an independent, successful, and enjoyable professional and personal life. That's what we do. That's at the core. Now, with that, and I think directly parallel to that, is competitively, we have the ability, and we're demonstrating it, and we need to continue to demonstrate it and climb that ladder to emerge from a regional institution competitively to a national landscape and a national profile. And people will ask, well, how do you do that? Well, number one, you've got to be successful in the conference that you're in. And if you're successful in the conference that you're in, that is going to springboard you to more instances of NCAA postseason play. And then you've got to go as deep as you can and to chase that final dream and go into the deeper rounds of postseason nationally. We have sports that are demonstrating that right now, and we just need to expound on that and to pursue that down the road even further. So competitively, it's to raise ourselves to a more national profile. And in order to do that, we got to win. We got to be successful. But exactly parallel to that, at the same time, in a simultaneous manner, we're going to do well in the classroom, and we're going to graduate as well or better than anybody that is our peer. And so, you know, our GPAs, our graduation rates, our academic progress rate scores are going to be at a level that we can all be very proud of. And knock on wood, that's happening too. So we're in the middle of a pretty decent run right now competitively and academically, and we need to continue that. Number three, we need to grow our external resources. And what I mean by that is in some ways it's not always about money. Money has a lot to do with it, believe me. But we need to grow our exposure. We need to grow our fan base. We need more people to know who we are and to want to be part of us. And we need to market internally within our own student body, within our own alumni, within our own employees at the University of South Alabama, and market and grow that feeling and that unity internally, but then also branch out to more larger populations, again, locally, regionally, nationally. So external is growing our brand, growing awareness in whatever means, whether it's a podcast, a radio broadcast, getting people to our website, getting people to watch our streaming, reaching out to the media, whether it's local, regional, or national, just pushing the envelope to grow our awareness the best that we can. I relate that to this is a fact. Fact's a strong word, but I think it's very true. When people get to know us, they like what they see. That's whether it's prospects, that's whether they're new fans, that's new students, that's new employees, that's parents and guardians of people who play here. If they've never been here and they come here, the vast majority of the time they say, I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know it was this nice. This place is really a great place. And that's a nice, warm, fuzzy thing to hear. But we've got to reverse that to where more people see it, more people hear it, and more people understand it. So, what is the vision? To graduate great young adults, prepare them for life, win on a more national scale, continue to have that success paralleled by academic integrity and success, and then grow our fan base. Yes, raise more money. Yes, generate more excitement. Yes, sell season tickets, but enhance the brand, solidify the brand, and I think as we do that, that helps everybody.
Well, I think we hit the time where in the proverbial game, you'd hear there's about 1 minute on the clock. So I've got some kind of quick shot questions for you. Just first thing off the top of your mind. What's your favorite baseball stadium to visit?
Target Field.
I guess I would expect that from a Twins fan. What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
96 Olympics.
Atlanta, not a trip abroad for you in that instance. As an administrator, what's been your favorite athletic moment from one of the schools you've worked at that you've been tied to?
It's supposed to be a quick answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I have a singular athletic event. I have singular events per sports that I, you know what I mean? I don't think it's isolated to a singular event. I think there's many, many, many. Some of which, you know, the majority are wins and successes, but some of the memorable ones were just gut-wrenching defeats, but they were great games where the kids fought and the coaches coached and the fans were into it, and it was a remarkable game, and we lost, and it hurt, but we were proud of who we were. So it's a well-rounded non-answer. How's that?
I'm going to take it because I'm going to have to. What one sporting event have you never attended that you'd like to go to?
Super Bowl.
What's the favorite vacation spot that you and Mastina have ever visited?
We may not have the same answer. I think trips into the mountains. We like to get away to where there's some elevation and it's cool at night in the summer, and in the winter, I can't ski worth anything, but Tina, my wife, can, and so I just snowplow down the hill with a bunch of 5-year-olds, and she goes back and forth, and I meet her at the bottom. So. I would say any of our trips to the mountains or the hills.
What's a place you haven't visited yet that's on your guys' future agenda?
I think Europe. I think a combination of England and France. Tina has interests in that area. I have an interest in history. Civil War and also World War II. So I hope there's a day that we can go visit Normandy. The whole concept of D-Day and how that happened and the result of it on a worldwide scale is staggering, and I'm drawn to see what it looks like.
Favorite movie?
I'm gonna show my age a little bit, but I've probably watched the movie A Bridge Too Far more times than I've watched any other movie.
Favorite book?
Men at Work by George Will. That was a book. George Will is more of a political writer. But this was a book that dove into the mental aspect of playing and coaching. He did in-depth interviews, and I may forget somebody, but Tony La Russa, Oral Hershiser, Tony Gwynn, and I am forgetting one or two people. But it was. It was at a time in my coaching and teaching career where I was really absorbing that side of the game, was how to mentally prepare, how to execute, how to organize, how to overcome adversity, how to manage success. It was a great book.
Favorite musical artist?
You too.
And last but not least, when the movie comes out in the next 10 to 20 years, the Joel Erdman story. Who plays Dr. Joel Erdman?
Wow. Honestly, who I would love to see that. Either Bill Murray or Will Ferrell.
Dr. Urban, thanks so much for the time this morning. Best of luck this upcoming season and moving forward. And look forward to seeing the continued fine work that you're producing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!